Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Griefcast with me, Cariad Lloyd. Griefcast is a place to talk, share and laugh about the peculiar human process of death and grief. Each week, I talk to a different person about their experiences of grief and death as we remember someone that they have lost along the way, whether it was a long time ago or you've just joined the club. Welcome to Griefcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey Griefsters, I hope you're having an okay week. A little bit of news. This is the last episode of this series. I'm going to have a break. I don't know when I'm coming back. So normally I think, I don't normally do shows in January, and I normally have January off and then we start with this sort of spring season and we have a break in the summer and we come back. And the book obviously is now out, and that was quite a huge thing. It's quite a huge part of me, that book, and I really wanted to do some episodes in January to make it. We don't normally do that. I don't normally do that. But I knew that I probably couldn't cope once the book came out with recording episodes as well. So I'm going to have a little break because I know we're all griefsters. I'm not going to say this is the end, but I am just going to say, you know, au revoir for a bit. I love doing this show so much and I love this community so much, but I definitely, with the book now being out, it's hard to record them as well as talking about my dad all the time. So I hope that's okay. I hope you know how much I appreciate everybody who listens and has made this show what it is and provided the community of people that it is. I really am so grateful. So for everyone who's listened this entire time since 2016, all the way back with our first episode talking to Adam Buxton about his dad, thank you for making this what I do, and I hope you're okay. I hope today's an okay one. Before we go, we have one last guest, and I'm so chuffed that she is the last guest of this season because she's amazing. It's the fantastic writer and poet Holly McNish. Holly is a Sunday Times bestselling author of Slug and Other Things I've Been Told to Hate, as well as her brilliant parenting memoir, Nobody Told Me. She also won the Ted Hughes Award for New Work in Poetry. She's just one of those people that, if you know, you follow her on social media, it's just, she's good. You're just glad she exists. She's a brilliant poet. What she talks about has not been talked about before. The way she talks about it is like really honest and refreshing and just clear-sighted. And I'm so glad that I finally got to talk to her. We've been trying to arrange this chat for a while, and it was just a joy, a real joy. So here is Holly. So Holly, who are we remembering today?
Today I'm remembering my gran, so specifically my mum's mum, who died in the first lockdown period. So it was like a weird kind of online funeral death. And she was 96. So, yeah, we're remembering her, my gran. I was very close to her, loved her, like a lot of people are with a lot of people they lose.
What was her name? We were supposed to say the name.
Oh, her name was Isabel.
Isabel.
That's funny, isn't it? Because her name was Gran.
And was she a gran, not a grandma or a granny? She's Gran.
Actually, she was a gaga.
Gaga. Oh,
so
nice.
I don't know if that's like common in other families. Apparently not. I was told it was a Scottish name, but my mum and dad are both Scottish, and everything that I questioned, they were like, "Oh, it's a Scottish thing." So, like lots of things, like my dad's omelette that had like burgers and chips in the omelette was a Scottish omelette. I later discovered like that's not Scottish. That's just our family.
You want a burger and chips in your omelette, which is totally fine.
Yeah,
but don't blame really the entire good. Nation for this. What's happening on your I've heard gaga before. Gaga normally is when a child can't say grandma and then it becomes gaga and then it sticks. That's what I've always heard. If it sort of becomes like, oh, that's what we call that person, but actually it was a child couldn't say grandma or gran.
Yeah, that makes sense. My dad said it was once that it was one of our first words, and so my gran wanted to act like her name was our first word, but actually it was that our first word was her name. I think he was having a bit of a dig.
Gaga. Isabel's a very beautiful name. Very beautiful. And she was 96. So, wow, that is a ripe age. Not that makes, you know, you can still grieve for people who are old. That's very common. But, you know, good for her that she had a nice long life in that way.
Yeah, it was great.
Was she in a home by the end, or where was she?
No, so I guess that's sort of why I wanted to talk to her. She's also the closest person that I've been to that's died, which is very lucky in my life. But I found it quite weird because it was, as my mum always says, it was like a very good death. Mm. And my mum's a nurse, and she's seen a lot of death, and she kept sort of saying to me, you know, it was amazing. It was such a good death. And I was like bluffing, you know, I'm not really used to it, as my mum is. But she was at home and she wasn't fine, obviously. Mm. She was sort of in hospital a bit and out. But she was, you know, she was chatting even on the day that she died and just went to the loo and then sort of sat up in bed and died.
So wow.
It was quite like my mum, and it was obviously in a comforting way, but was saying it. But I find it's quite odd when you're like heavily grieving someone, but you know, like it was a good death, they've had a long life. So it's not that there's so much sympathy, and maybe there shouldn't be as much, obviously, if there's horrendous death and grief that people go through. But it was just quite funny, and it's funny that you said that, because as soon as you sort of say the age, it's like a lot of people are like, oh yeah, fair enough. Like it's nothing. But I guess both my grandmas I was really close to, and one of them died at 94 years ago, and the other one at 96. But my gran that died at 94, she was like so ready to die, and used to talk to me about how sort of boring old age was and how she was ready. She started eating cheese because, like, she was so healthy. She just ate, you know, she, like, made soup every day for food, basically. And the doctor told her cheese was bad for her, so she immediately, like, cut out cheese. But then when she started to think she was ready, she started eating cheese as if that was, like, really bad.
I'm afraid to tell you there are a few things above cheese that...
I know, right?
Like smoking, drinking. Start with cheese. Go easy. Build up to it.
Could have gone for some more fun stuff, I guess. But yeah, my gaga was like not ready. I think that's why I found it so sad, because she had like a very long life, but a lot of it was during times where like women couldn't do quite as much as she would have wanted. And she, to be honest, like, she was amazing. She was the first person in my family to go to uni. She came from a really poor background and loads of stuff, and then got pregnant just as she left, so didn't really go into the life, I guess, that she was definitely thinking. Had three kids, went into teaching, and then she only ever went abroad when she was like 75 after my granddad died, because he was, so she sort of, she had this long, long life, but as a lot of women in particular, a lot of caring in it.
Yeah.
And then was kind of independent, I guess, in her 70s and had loads of other places she wanted to go. But by the time she wanted to do it, she was mobile, but not mobile enough to, you know, go on like a world tour or whatever. So, yeah, it's interesting and it's sort of sad, but I know that she had a longer life than most people on the planet.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because what you're talking about, we say on the show, there's no hierarchy of grief. And you know, I do believe that, like, grief is grief. Obviously, there's situations where you're like, well, yep, that compared to that is easier.
Absolutely.
But even saying that, I think it can... What's important, I suppose, is, and I say this a lot, your grief is your grief. Like, if you feel it, you feel it. And it doesn't... It's like sadness, isn't it? Or depression or anxiety. Like, it's no good someone saying, oh, but look what you've got. It doesn't make that feeling go away. And it just makes you feel worse because you're like, I shouldn't feel this because they had a good death. It's just like, I think the things around their age and their death, like the context of someone's death, can be helpful sometimes in grief to give you a moment of like, okay, you know, they were 21 when they died. Gosh, that's making me feel even more worse. Or they were 90 when they died. Okay, I have that to hold on to. Like, they were old and that's something that's good. But the grief is still there. Like, does that make sense? Like, the context of it. You can always look at it, can visit it and be like, oh, the context is interesting. Here's the context. But that doesn't stop how you feel. And as you said, if she were very close to her and she's the first person you've really, you know, experienced that grief and that death, then... Of course you're grieving. I think that's like normal. But I think people really love to minimise other people's grief. They really love it. It makes them feel better, you know? So if they can say to you...
Yeah, that's interesting.
If they say to you, oh God, oh no, you're so sad. Oh, how old was she? 96. Ding! Okay, don't need to feel that bad. Oh, she had a good death. Ding! Oh, really don't need to feel that bad. And you were close to her and you got on and she knew that you loved you. Ding, ding, ding! Oh, great. Yeah. I don't. And it's like we're looking in our internal sympathy box and we're like, oh, okay, how much does Holly need? Not that much. But that's bullshit. Like, if you feel sad, you feel sad. Like,
you do. Yeah. But also, in a way, I don't need that. Like, I don't need that much. In that way, it is, you know, if there are other people I lost, I would need more help. Like, I didn't feel like I needed...
Yeah, yeah.
...needed people around me so much, but it doesn't make it less, you know, less sad that you are missing this person and lost the person. But yeah, I definitely, I guess, had my own box in that way that was like, no, it's okay. Yeah. Like, that's a nice third one as well, because I think that was the one that selfishly was the thing that I spoke about most when I was sort of talking about him in like poems and write, because I wrote quite a lot about my grandparents, and just the fact that if you know that it's like this surety that you've told someone that you love them, and then I guess a lot of people in grief, like, lost a close friend, and my partner was saying, right, that's it, there's no chance I'm not telling any of my like male friends that I love them, because it's not like a guy thing to do, but like, fuck this, basically, like, no longer will I hold feelings back, because this is too much. So I guess it still sparked that, but from a positive point of view, I was like, right, I told my gran I loved her so much, and you think, right, let me just do that to everyone else that that I know on this planet now.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing about grief, is it you know, whether someone is 96 and has a good death, you still makes you feel all those feelings that we all feel with grief, of like, oh fuck, people can die, they can die, I need to say these things. And you know, obviously having done lots of conversations about grief, it does make it easier. It makes it easier to face your grief if you knew that they loved you and you said you love them. Like, it definitely adds an ease to it. It doesn't mean you're walking on air and you're like, oh, I'm fine, they knew I loved them. But it definitely helps. It definitely helps.
Yeah, I think so. I think the worst thing about it was being a mum and telling my kid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was really odd, because all the other people that died, I've just gone through it by myself, which is fine. I'm not such a, well, like a lot of people, not in a way that I don't, like, I'm very open to like crying in front of people and talking, but it's not really something that I feel like I do communally that well, or not well, that I really want to. I like doing my own little rituals that I just make up and act like they're spiritual. But telling my daughter has been the worst. I've had to tell her that two people in our family have died since she's being alive, and she was really like really close, and it was her great grandma.
Yeah.
So that's even weirder, because when she said that to people, my great grandma died, it's like, oh, you know, right, everyone expects that to be somebody that you maybe haven't even been able to talk to, or has been in a state of knowing them. And the fact that they were so close, that was awful, because I thought, oh, I didn't have to go through this at your age.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have great grandparents, but you've got four great grandmas, because basically everyone in our family had kids had kids before we were apparently meant to.
Yeah.
So she's got like some very young great grandmas as well. So I think that, like, just sitting in the morning and thinking, I've got to go in and like ruin my kid's day, and I have no idea how, like, she was like 9.
Wow.
So really, really aware of it. It's not something that, you know, it's not like she'll forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the worst. That was, yeah, much worse than my own grief, I think, just having to break news to a kid. And I imagine that it must be bloody awful, like, that just can't imagine if it's someone even closer to them.
How was it? What did you say to her? Did you just go for the straight up, she's died, like...
Yeah, I was trying to, I'm not really one for all the passed away, like gone to the stars or whatever. I don't mind the word. Well, I do mind the word. I absolutely have not come to terms with the fact that I'm going to die, despite having like sat with people who are dying quite often. Not quite often, like a few times with grandparents mainly. But yeah, just went in and sat down. It was. In lockdown, but we had gone and seen her, like when there was like a little break in the lockdown, and a few people, happened with my granddad as well, like a few people said, oh, do you really think you should drive up, but what if all the, you know, motorways are closed or whatever? So we'd driven up, not fairly recently, but a couple of months before, to quite a lot of criticism in the family, and now I'm just very pleased that we did that. But I went in, and we made like dens all during lockdown, so she had like a different den in her bedroom every month, or every week maybe. So it was like this bright sunshiny day with this massive, like, I just remember all these like flowers up, and like fake flowers and big sheets up, and she was like waking up in the dark. Oh god. But I just sat down and said, no, I've got something bad to tell you, I'm really sorry, or bad, maybe I didn't say bad, sad, and just told her, and then I told her and burst into tears, which is very helpful. But I'm a really, really cryy person. Like, I read a poem yesterday sitting in a cafe. I was trying to write, like, edit a book, and I always read other people's poems before I try and edit my own, and it was about this woman just sat in a, not someone had died, but when a kid had left home to go to like college or whatever, and she was like sat in the empty room. I just burst into tears and couldn't stop crying in the cafe. I was like, this is so I'm not very good at breaking news like that. I just cry. I'd be a terrible, terrible medical professional.
I'm just so sad for you. Like, yeah, thanks. And the treatment, what are we doing? I don't know.
I know, right?
I think that's really good, though. I think it's quite healthy to tell a child and cry, because what you're saying immediately is, I'm sad, and the way to express sadness is tears. And that's like, I think that's great, because for the child, for you to express something deeply sad and keep all your emotion in, the child goes, oh, okay, this is something, we do not cry, we keep it in, it's dangerous, don't let those tears. Whereas when you just bawl your eyes out, I mean, obviously, you don't want to bawl your eyes at the point where the kid is like, okay, mummy, I'll get dressed myself, like, I'll make dinner. You don't want that. But to show, like, oh, we can be sad and it's okay and we can hug each other, like, you're just showing emotion. I think that's... because that's the thing with kids, people get so afraid of using the word dead and death and dying, and they just want to protect them. Like, of course I understand. I understand as a person, and also as a person who has two children, I totally understand the need to protect them. But what are you protecting them from? You know, that's the thing of, like, you're protecting them from emotion, from sadness. Like, they will experience sadness. Like, that is something that's going to happen to them. And so you're showing them, well, you can't do it with me. I can't see your sadness. We can't be sad together. Like, you're going to have to do this by yourself somewhere else.
And if you can't be sad with, you know, the person that you're meant to be one of the closest to in the world, it's going to be pretty hard.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, it's my friend LJ, who is a doctor, And I remember her saying, she does a lot of work with like death matters and grief cafes and stuff. And she asked me when my kid was like five if I wanted to come to this death cafe, and she was really enthusiastic about it. And I was like, I don't know whether that's like a day out for me with my daughter. And she was like, no, it's great. We're doing making like Day of the Dead cookies. And then there's loads of books about death. And I was like, so then I went, and it was very nice. There was like a coffin in the middle that you could put like thoughts about people that had died in. But just seeing everyone, like strangers sat talking about death, was amazing. And my kid still remembers it, but wow. Remembers like just like the cakes basically. Yeah. And probably remembers because I've got a photo of us standing with these like Day of the Dead cookies that we'd made. The memories often, isn't it, that they've seen a photograph like years later. So that's what they actually remember. But so she was like, no, I think it's healthy to talk about death. So then I did. But after that, my daughter, like, oh, every time I tried to sing her a song, that songs that I used to sing her when she was going to sleep, she was like, oh, don't sing that because it's too sad. And I was like, it's meant to be a happy song. She was like, yeah, but one day you're going to die and then you won't be able to sing me that song. So then she was obsessed for ages. I was like, oh no, what have I done? And then like everything nice, I would be like, oh, there's one song like, I can't remember what it was. But yeah, every time I say it, she was like, no, like everything I did, don't do that because one day you'll be dead and you won't be able to do it. And I was like, well, maybe if one day I'll be dead, which I, you know, told her that I don't really know what happens after. And then maybe we should do it more because I'll be dead.
Yeah, like, so let's enjoy it while we can, right?
Just have as many adventures as possible. But I was just like, oh, I don't know how to do this.
it's really hard, and I think all kids go through that phase of like talking about death. And like obviously my child hears me talking about it a lot, and the older one, and has our stuff, and she'll be like, when are you gonna die? And are we all doing it, we're all dying. I was like, yeah, we're all gonna do it, just like don't know when, but we obviously like try not to, but it will happen. And I think it's good, because I think actually what most of us do is, or most of us grew up with, is not talking about it. And then when it does happen, just being like, what the fuck is this? Like, whereas if you've had that moment as a child of being curious, oh, what happens? What is it? What is this dead thing that, you know, happens to people? And again, a parent, like, you express it and talk about it, then you're somewhere in your bones or deep in your psyche is like, oh, okay, this is something that's not terrifying. Like, it's a part of what this existence is. I just think it's so important, because you're not,
me too,
you're not, it's not like, it's not true, it's not like Santa Claus, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh well, they could believe it for a bit, it's not the end of the world. It's like, no, this, like, it is gonna happen. So why, mind you, I'm not even very good with Santa Claus. I'm like, look, some people think this old guy comes around, but I don't know.
I'm obsessed with Santa Claus. I'm like the opposite.
Oh really?
Because I'm really obsessed with like the history of the actual person that started the Santa Claus story. So then so my daughter's sort of past the age of waiting up for Santa and stuff. But I was like, but look at this St. Nicholas, like, it's amazing. It was an actual person and he was so cool and like started putting things like randomly in people's houses because he didn't want poor people to feel bad for getting charity and stuff. So I like the actual story of like the
guy.
That's
better. That sounds like you're handling it more than I am, which is...
It's only because I'm obsessed with it and I love all that stuff.
No, I think that's good.
I love it.
Because I worry that I've like destroyed Christmas, because she's so unfazed by it, because she's just like, oh, right, it's not a big deal. And then she was like, my friend told me that like Father Christmas comes round. I was like, yeah. Look, he'll knock on the door, and he'll give us a present, okay? He gives us one thing. Because I just can't deal with all this, like, if you're good, you'll get it. If you're bad. I just find that really stressful. Because it's like...
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, eh? He's watching. And if you're good... Yes.
And it's similar to death. They're watching over you. They're still with you. It's this idea that to give children this stuff that actually is more confusing than reality. Like, reality is quite simple.
Stops some teenagers starting to masturbate because they're worried that their like dead family members will be watching them. I've heard that quite a lot by people that have lost people and then as teenagers, which is obviously horrendous, but just thinking that your gran's going to be sitting there like watching you practicing trying to masturbate, like, that is not,
mate, as someone
that's not what they're going to be doing.
is someone who lost a dad at 15. Yes, anything you do as a teenager. Because someone's told you they're watching, so you're like, is he watching me drink this bottle of Archer's?
Oh,
is he watching me snog this person? Like, what the fuck? Because I'm doing some stuff that's not great. It's fine. Yeah. I don't want him to see that. Yeah, it's awful when people say it. It's really awful because you really do, like, it really lands because you think, what? Because also, like, especially any child doesn't want, you don't want to see your parents see what you're up to. Like, anybody.
Yeah.
Like, what? Is that what he's going to do? Now he's not here. Oh God, that's all.
Also such a, the other side is such a strange thing about death as well, isn't it? It's like, right, so if I die and I don't know what happens, or, you know, my body explodes and becomes a tree or whatever, don't know. But as if you do become like some sort of spirit, that's what you'll do, go and watch your child masturbate. Like, that's such a weird idea of like the, all the possibilities of the afterlife, and that is what you'll do.
Oh my God, come on man, like, you'll be at peace with nature. You could fly in the air and just feel at one with the entire existence. Or you could watch your child masturbate,
or at least watch someone else masturbate.
It's not creepy, not weird. Because I think other thing that you think as a child, because you don't think about the parents' point of view, but also the parents don't want to see that. Like, we ought, from the parent point of view, you're like, no thanks. I keep that. That's
also, it's
your
not
life.
Very interesting to watch. Yeah. Like, we make such a big thing about it. Like, I mean, it's really depending how you do it. But with me, it would not be interesting to watch. I was gonna say, moving on from the masturbating, but my one of the nice things about talking to my kids was that it was like she was part of it all.
Yeah.
So I kept thinking that after you said that it was is quite good, and that they know this stuff, but she was like part of that, like, family event in a way. Like, we have to feel like came to the funeral, and I remember when my other grandma died, who my daughter did know, but she was younger, she was like 4, and knew her, but not, wasn't the same. Like, she spent a lot of time on her own while, to be honest, I was sleeping, watching, you know, spent a lot of time with my other gran. And we spent every New Year with her, had parties with her, where, like, you know, loads of traditions around birthdays and Christmas and New Year and stuff. But with the other gran, I remember her, like, we saw my gran about a week before she died, and my daughter was asking her loads of questions, which adults obviously wouldn't ask. And we were sat in the care home, and she was just like, so how did you get so old? Like, how can I, like, not die, like, you know, earlier? And how can, just, and everyone was like, is this appropriate? And my gran seemed to be loving it, you know, that somebody was not tiptoeing around everything.
Yeah.
But afterwards, she really wanted to come to the funeral, and no one really wanted her to, and none of the other great grandkids would go in, so it was a bit of a thing that I was like, I think it's okay that she goes. Like, other ones would go into the stuff afterwards, like the cake and I can't remember what it's called, but so I was so nervous. It was like this, you know, when you do stuff with a kid and you're like, you have to be well behaved.
Otherwise,
I am wrong. Wrong in front of the whole family. That's like, not my mum. My mum's always, like, always talked about death actually in our household, because she had a lot of patients she was close to who died, and she'd come home like sadder on those days from work. And as I got older, we'd talk more. I'd be like, oh mom, I can't find a dress to wear, and she was like, oh, my patient died. I was like, okay, never mind,
you know what, this one's fine, I'll just wear the pink one.
I'll just whatever. But so she came to the funeral, and like, it was like, I remember being really sad because it was my gran's funeral, but really nervous as this, like, test of motherhood. And actually, she was silent for the whole thing, so well behaved. I was like, yes. It was so weird. And even told me to shush when I asked her if she was, like, okay. She was like, shh, it's a funeral. Okay, fine.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I think stuff like that's really, I mean, look, it depends on the child, depends on your relationship with the child, and if you know that child can cope with it and sit there.
Yeah.
My niece, when my mother-in-law died, came to the funeral. I think she was like maybe 5 or 6. And similarly, like, the general family were like, of course she's coming. Like, she was very, very close to her, and, you know, didn't think about it. It was only when the funeral was happening, I sat next to her, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is quite massive for you, actually. Like, have we thought about this? And she was fine. Like, she definitely, there was definitely moments that she was confused or sad. But again, I feel like those aren't terrible feelings for a child to have. Like, as long as they're managed, obviously not like, yeah, good, be sad, like, stay there. But to be like, to see her mum get up and speak, and then her, you know, my husband and her uncle speak, and people were crying and she was sad. And but it's just, you gotta go, I don't know, like, I've spoken to so many Irish people and Irish comedians who I like, that's like the biggest nationality has been on this show, because they have like no problem talking about it. And they'll say like, oh yeah, I went to a funeral when I was 2 years old. Or one was like, oh, my earliest memory is being like held over a coffin to look at a body. And it's just like not a big deal there. And I think there is something, I don't know, just something about that being in your vocabulary quite early, not being so terrifying. When there's a funeral, that, like, all the Irish people I know are like, of course you go to a funeral. Of course, doesn't matter how well you know them, you go support the person you drink, raise a glass to them, and that's really important. And I think our, you know, well, half Welsh, English, my side of it was always very like, oh, you know, it's quite like funerals.
And also,
so awkward.
If it's not normal, then I guess if that, like, the like any social situation, the less it's normal that kids go to them, the harder it is to take your kids to them. I know it's not like a day out, but it's like if you know there's going to be like 10 other kids there that might make a noise or might have to be taken out or might start running around the church or wherever you're having it. But when you know it might only be adults and there's, you know, you're the only person that might take your kid, and if they make a sound.
But it's funny, isn't it, that we're so afraid of them even running around, where you go, is that the worst thing that can happen at funerals? Some children running around. Like, but we're so
and so nice
of it.
As well. So nice to see, like, the life. Isn't it? Really,
at,
I think.
At like, my mother-in-law's funeral, the niece was there and the dog, her dog was there, the mother-in-law's dog. And it was like, it was that weird thing of like having a kid or a dog at an unexpected adult party. Like, it's a good icebreaker. You know what I mean? Like, everyone is like, oh, a dog, a child. Like, and it is kind of this thing of like, yeah, life goes on. Like, that is what you're saying. Life goes on. And obviously you don't want them like up at the front doing Play-Doh on the coffin. Like, sure, there's respect. And it does depend on the child. You know, I wouldn't, you know, advocate. If you've chosen not to do that, it's totally fine. I just think it's funny that we get so afraid of these things.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Griefcast with Carrie Adloyd. So, with your gran that died, your gaga, that's right. I was like, am I saying that right? she died in the lockdown or between lockdowns. So did you have a funeral then, or was it Zoomed, or was it?
It was like a Zoom one.
Right, yeah.
And that was weird. Yeah, so it was in the one of the heaviest parts of lockdown, but amazingly my mum had like moved in with her.
Okay.
Which is why I guess she didn't have to have somebody there or go into a home or something. Although I don't think she would have had to go into a home, but because my mum's a nurse, she could be the nurse there, which was very, very helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the funeral was over Zoom. And actually my daughter didn't watch that funeral.
Yeah, that's
because
tricky.
I just thought that's not the thing that is, I think, is nice for a kid to see family and see what it's like and see it's all right to cry. That's just like a bit too weird for, not weird, but I don't think it would have had any positive thing really. Like, we'd gone and visited her in hospital. This is not even about that, but one of my favourite memories of like going to see her, and I guess I think about these more because there was no funeral. Although really I think it's more important to go and see people when they're alive than to be able to get to their funeral. Like, I remember trying to take her out of school, and it was seen as an unauthorised absence to go and visit my gran a week before she died, but the funeral was authorised. And I was like, if I could choose one of these two, it would be like to say goodbye rather than to go to the funeral, which I was like, this is strange. But when we went up to visit her in hospital, my mum was living with her then, and we basically dressed up as her and put on all her, because she had all these like matching hats and outfits and gloves and stuff, like much more elegant than we are. So we went to the hospital like dressed up really smartly to please her in all of her stuff. And I think the people working there must have thought we were nuts. But she said she was like really bored for the week that she was in hospital, because there's no like, they can't listen to podcasts. There's no, you just sit with a newspaper. There's no radio. There's nothing. You're just sitting there like bored. And she was, had loads of interests. Like, most people wanted to like do stuff. So yeah, but so I thought, you know, you can't watch this funeral on a TV, and I don't know how I'm going to feel about this, but at least we, you know, dressed up as her.
Yeah, sorry, honey, don't skip over that. How did it go? What did she? What was her reaction when you turned up dressed as her? That's incredible. What was your grand's reaction?
So she thought we were nuts basically, but loved it. Was like laughing and was sort of telling all the people. She's a very like, well-to-do, sort of, I guess, quite typical, was from like a quite poor working class background, and was dressed very smartly for that reason, I guess, in the same reason that you can't wear like a tracksuit that doesn't match if you're from a certain area, you know, that you have to look better, you have to improve yourself more. I think, you know, rich people can go wear ripped jeans and shop in charity shops and it's fine. But so she had all these like very elegant outfits, so she was just pleased that we'd like made an effort. She was always telling me to make more of myself, so it was good. But her hats were amazing. It was like fur hats.
Wow.
And I had this like long gold jacket on. Yeah, they were great, like all Macs and stuff. But we went for brunch before we went to the hospital, because we were in Glasgow, and my boyfriend lives up there and my mum was there, and we went for brunch dressed like this, and he was just like, oh my god, this is so ridiculous. But yeah, it was good. And the staff, I don't know if like, we weren't dressed as
like just like an glamorous, older person, glamorous.
So it's not like they would have thought that we were in fancy dress.
No.
They were just like, oh, apart from maybe my daughter, because she was in like this sort of shiny red Mac with like a big, like quite a massive hat. But I think there's loads of stuff like that was actually quite fun with my
that's
kids.
So fun. And then, that's so fun. That must have cheered up the hospital all that day, especially in the middle of a fucking lockdown. Like, anything that was jolly, you were like, oh my god, thank you for making me laugh right now.
I think it was quite fun, and it was probably good for my mum as well, like how awful. I've written so much about losing my grandma, and then I remember one of the poems, I phoned her up to read it to her, and she was like, oh, it's really nice, like, it was about the fact that I'm not a grandkid anymore, like not like a grandkid, and then she was like, yeah, I'm not like a kid anymore. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm really sorry, Mum, that is way worse. I guess like that hierarchy, and I was like, oh yeah,
that's so funny, your mum being like, oh, is it hard for you, Holly, having a bad my mum died. But yeah, you go ahead, babe, you go ahead. But
you go ahead and
but actually, you know what it's like to be a mum. Like, you still want your child to be okay and happy, but like, it's
and she still was really pleased that I had a close relationship, like I am watching her and my kid now. But yeah, the lockdown funeral was was weird. I really thought it would be okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought it might be quite nice because you don't have to go to a funeral and stand awkwardly and like cry in front of family you half know. But I just, you know, I just thought it was rubbish and I was totally on my own watching it. And my kid was, it was, it happened to be on one of the days that my daughter's at her dad's house anyway. But yeah, it's just, it was very odd. And my family were angry about it anyway, because apparently the vicar said he was like rubbish. And my auntie stopped going to church because his speech at my grand's funeral was so bad.
Oh no, she's, oh my
like,
God.
Quite like big in the, like, you know, just loads of community stuff in the church. So it was like, oh.
Wow.
I can't.
Get your shit, get your shit together, Vic. That's, you've lost a follower by a bad speech. I had to do go to a Zoom funeral in one of the like the second lockdown or something like that. Or I think it was when it was eased, but we had symptoms and it was when tests weren't around, so we couldn't go. And it was a friend; it wasn't family. But it was such a strange experience, and I really understand what you're saying because it just was so. I felt really lucky I could be there because it was like, oh, I am technically ill and I technically can't go. So it's great that I'm able to still be part of this. But it was so odd. And like they turned the cameras on early. So like you were in the, wasn't a church, you know, crematorium while they were like setting up. So it was such a weird experience because you're like, well, I would in real life, I wouldn't be here. I'd be outside with all the people talking about
strange.
Them. And I'm just in while they're having like a really banal admin chat of like where to put things and like, okay, don't do that. And oh, you get, I'm finishing at 12. And it was just like, it felt like going so behind the curtain in a really bad way of like, oh, I don't want this to be your job. Like, I want this to be the moment for this person.
Yeah.
And, but it's your job, isn't it? And of course it is. And that was a very it was really strange, wasn't it? Because again, you feel so grateful, like if this pandemic had happened 20 years ago, what would we have done? No one would have known. You know, you just would have not gone.
Absolutely.
And people would have been just buried alone. But also, it's not like technology is magic. It's not like, oh, everything's fine.
Yeah, can't hug you.
Can't hug
That's
you.
That's funny, like saying about just seeing that it's like a very normal thing, or a distance isn't just for your friend. I felt exactly the same watching it because normally you're standing. Although quite often when I've gone to it's like the same crematorium I've gone to like 6 times for family members up in Glasgow, and quite often you get there when the last funeral's still on.
Yes.
So you see other people coming out, and you're like, wow, this is. Like, it's literally just like a...
One in, one out.
A line of... Yeah, it's weirder. And I found that... So I didn't see behind the scenes at the beginning because I was watching it on the thing, but I've written... Sometimes I feel funny saying things that I've written about in a book. I feel like it's not true.
Yeah, I know what you mean. True. Yeah.
It's weirder. But I didn't put the live stream off. I was, like, sitting, crying... And just sort of sitting in silence in my house. And I just expected it to switch off.
Yeah.
So I just didn't really touch the screen. And then it didn't. So I saw the end of it. So everyone left and I sort of watched. My mum and my auntie were there. There was like, I think, 7 people there or something. But then they started chatting about whether they were going to have like sandwiches now or before the next one. And then I watched the next one.
Oh my God.
Because it didn't stop. I thought it would be like a link per funeral. Yeah. I didn't watch all of it because then I thought, I don't even know if this is legal to watch someone else's funeral. And also it's weird. But I was just sort of staring. I was like, I don't know what to do after watching my grand's funeral online. I can't go and see anyone.
Yeah.
And my daughter's at her dad's. And so I'll just sit here, like, whatever. But yeah, I remember watching the next people come in and thought, well, I'll just watch this. And then I was like, Ollie, I put this off. You don't know this guy. You don't know the people. Like, they don't expect somebody to be watching it. But it was weird seeing, like, actually seeing, all that chat. All that chat. Should we have sandwiches now, do you reckon? It's like, excuse me.
I know.
That was my grandma's whole life just summed up in, like, a ceremony.
And you're just, like, dusting and picking up flowers. But it almost comes back to what we're saying, because you're almost like a ghost. You feel like a ghost, like no one can see you. And equally, like we're saying about ghosts of dead people, then you realise, well, this is a bit weird and boring. I don't really want to be here. Like, even though I can be here, I'm all right, actually. Yeah. I'll go and do something else. Like, it was a very strange But I totally understand, because mine did the same thing. It didn't switch off. I kept expecting it to switch off. I had to switch it off.
Yeah.
But also, even switching it off felt a bit weird, because it felt like you were sort of switching that person off. Like, yeah, it felt rude. Whereas when you leave a funeral, like, everybody leaves together and you're sort of swept up in it, aren't you? And so,
yeah,
even if you don't want to go, you're like, well, we're all being kicked out, and like, here, yeah, we go as a gang. Whereas just you with your laptop clicking, do you wish to end this like window? You're like,
yeah,
not really, but.
And yeah, that's true. It's, and you only have the, I know some people would see it as a nice bit, but in my daughter's words, the boring bit,
yeah,
of a funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so it wasn't like, maybe it would have been nice if for people's funerals, we didn't watch the funeral, but then we did go to the after party, and you, yeah, had to like bring a cake and go on Zoom and chat or something. Do you know what I mean? There could have been,
yeah,
it could have been that bit that you tried to do. It would have been harder, obviously, but yeah, it was weird. I really thought it'd be all right, but it was just really weird, and not being able to chat, and then people around you not knowing.
Yeah,
I had that with a friend as well who died, and it was. That was the worst, awful. But that was it before? Yeah, it was before lockdown and everything. But it was weird because it was in Scotland, and it was a bit like that when he died, and it was like the worst experience of his life, my life, I think, so far. But I came back from Scotland here, and no one where I live. I've got quite like a split life, half where I am as like a mum in this quiet village, and then half probably in Scotland. And I came back and like nobody knew anything that had happened. Nobody knew him. And it was a bit like that there. There was just this like silence, and I would go on the school run and no one, like we'd been like looking for his body for like 3 days walk it, like it was just really awful. And but everyone just thought I'd like, my daughter was away at the time for a week with her dad, and everyone just thought I'd sort of been on holiday,
yeah
so asked me and didn't know anything. And I really wanted people to know and to also be sad,
yeah.
And I was like, and I guess I felt like that a bit at the Zoom. It's like, oh, no one around me sad. Like, at least when you're at a funeral, like, everyone is sad and everyone's, yeah, a bit awkward.
Well,
you
see the point of them. Like, that's the funny thing. You know, when you have, when they're taken from you, those rituals, I think pre-pandemic, you're like, oh, yeah, funerals. I mean, okay, I get it. Like, we all go. And
yeah,
you've got to do it. And then when it was gone, you were like, oh, I see. The point of it is you, yeah, need to be around people who feel exactly like you do, who love them, yeah, like you did, who are sad like you, because you can't take that energy. It's hard to take that energy to other places because other people are like, what? Like, why are you bringing this in? Like,
yeah.
Or they don't know.
Just knock on people's doors. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. My grandma died.
I just watched a Zoom funeral. Can I come in? You're like, okay. It's a lockdown, so no. And yeah, it's that feeling of community. It's such a cliche, and I feel like cheesy as fuck saying it, but it's like that community feeling of like this family, this gang, this group of friends, whatever your community is, we all feel sad about this person.
Yeah.
The same way at weddings, you're like, we all love these people. Yay, they love each other. Yay. Like,
yeah, yeah, it's the same.
You,
huh,
feel like part of a cog in a machine. You know, you're like, yes, I'm not alone. Like, that's what we need as humans.
Yeah.
But because we can survive on our own, can survive without a community, I think we, you know, do trick ourselves of like, oh, it's not that important, or yeah, Zoom funeral will be fine. But that sort of, yeah, ache, you know, that physical ache of like, you needed to be, yeah, around people who are going to like offer you some dry cake and a drink and hug, yeah, you. And yeah, to not have that is hard when you're, and it's funny, isn't it? Because obviously there were these tiny funerals and the immediate family were there. You know, like you said, there's like 7 people who could get there. But then if, yeah, you were slightly like the next ring round it, then you couldn't make the excuse to, yeah, be there. And then it, like, again, we come back to hierarchy of grief. That doesn't mean you're not sad because you weren't in the immediate, yeah, circle, exactly, of being there. You still have your grief to process.
And you couldn't hug, could you? Yeah. I remember my mum saying that was so weird. And she was like, God, that was weird, like, yeah, being there. And then you just sort of wave and leave.
Oh.
It's like, I mean, that must have been, it must have been equally weird to be there and like sit apart from,
yeah,
people. And yeah, really odd, really odd, just all of it. And you couldn't, I remember one of my grand's funerals, my family's quite good at the old doggy bag thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't like any leftovers, which is a good thing, I think. But I remember my dad, and it's her main memory of this funeral, was my dad telling her to go around and collect up all the cakes before, like, before they're all, like, taken by the staff. God, not even at a funeral, we're like, come on, get them, get those sandwiches.
Get them quick, quick. Yeah, it's really odd, and I think what's even odder is it wasn't that long ago. Like, we're still in the bit where it was, like, it was only, like 2 years ago, and you're like, oh, God. I had to check myself then. I was like, was it 2 years ago? I've lost all concept of time because of the gap in our life.
Me too. And so it's just amazing, I think, what you say about I never really thought I was bothered about going to funerals. Never thought I wanted to.
Yeah.
And as soon as I couldn't, it wasn't even just not going. It was just like you say, realising what the point of it was.
Yeah.
And I had a funeral like 2 weeks ago. My auntie died, and it's the first funeral that we've had in person, and my daughter came to that as well, and it was like oh, I could, even watching her go into it after knowing that didn't happen for my grandma. And we did other things with my grand, like we've got this like box that we sniff basically sometimes. It's like piece of furniture out my grand's house that smells of her house, and we keep our towels in it, and got a few things of her stuff in it. Every now and again my daughter's like, oh, can I sniff the box. It's like, yeah, right. But when we went to my auntie's funeral, and that was really sudden, we went up to visit for holiday and had to stay longer because she died. And just seeing her, and she was saying, Mum, this is so awkward. Like, a bit older, but I still was like, nah, this is really good that you're here. And you've, like, met other people in the family, and you've talked about her, and you've had jokes with people and all this sort of stuff. But I think I was like, it was like a documentary in my head, like, okay, so she didn't do this, and the last one, she was this age, and now what's she going to be like at this one now? She's 12 and really understands what's going on more. And, you know, bored.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, it's a bit boring now. And I was like, I think that's also good.
Totally,
I
mean, it's good for kids to be bored
in general, but it's all that you'll remember it, and if somebody talks about it, you'll have been there and all this stuff. Yeah, it was funny. It was sort of interesting.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's that thing I said, you realise the privilege it is to go to a funeral. And of course you're bored at 12. Absolutely should be. Like, that's the right reaction. But as you get older and you think, oh, I was invited into that space and was welcomed.
Yeah.
And that's, again, like, so when something emotional happened, when a big family event that was full of sadness, I was part of that. I am part of this family. I am allowed these negative feelings as well. Like, it's so, you're just teaching this, like, this is it. This is life. Sometimes we go to a party. Yeah. Sometimes we go to a funeral. But you are part of it. You are part of this gang.
And you see that these people that are one thing to you, which is also pretty good for kids to see, like this idea that your mum is there for this, or your teacher, you know, the idea of seeing a teacher in the street and you're like, what are you doing out of school, out of school clothes? Like, who are you?
Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. What do you mean? You've got a name, a first name. But like knowing then that, you know, like her great auntie was also a mother and also a grandmother and also a friend and also, you know, someone's wife and all this different stuff, knowing that these people, and like with my gran, you know, knowing she met loads of my gran's friends and stuff afterwards because we had like a get together, and just knowing that this person that you've got such a small idea of people when you're younger, don't you? It's like that it's not everything is, their identity wasn't just that, and you had one bit of them, and then they also had all these other lives.
That's massive. That's so
cool, I think.
Yeah, that's incredible. And to know that going into you growing as a person, being like, oh, I see, I'm going to have all these different lives. I'm not just me now, fixed. This is who I am. Which when you're a teenager, you are like, this is who I am. Defined me. Like, I'll never change.
And online as well.
Yeah.
Online people put that, don't they? Yeah. She was like, why does everyone just have like wife, mother on that, you know, as they get to a certain age? And I don't, sometimes I'm just like a bit like, really, like everyone, you know, sort of follow a bit. But I get it, the biggest roles in your life you put on your tap. But there's so many people, you know, identify themselves in like five words on social media, which I think this generation is very, you know, sees all the time.
And it's the same, I talked about this with Julia Samuel, who's amazing St. Julie, we call it on the show, grief psychotherapist. Oh, and she was talking about saying about mental health, that like people are like anxiety gal or, you know, like grief gal. And I get it, I understand, but she said it takes away room for you to change, which is what we know we're going to. And like your gran, like you said, she didn't go abroad till she was 75, and then she was like, right, let's do this. Like, who would have thought her at 25, if you'd said that to her, she'd be like, oh no, that isn't possible, I don't live in that world.
Yeah,
we see like how fast things change. And yeah, I think that's really interesting. I remember my granny and granddad's funeral, because they died, my mum's side, they died 2 weeks apart from each other. And I didn't really know that he was the oldest of, like, I think it's like 7 or 8. And his youngest brother came in. And all of us who like had only really seen my granddad as a granddad were like, what the fuck? That's my grand, like, that's him. Why is he up and walking? Because they're like the spit of each other. It was so weird.
Yeah.
And it was such a great experience to then meet all his sisters and these brothers, and they'd be like, and hear about this life, you know. He was my mum's side, like proper Cockneys, and like all this, like stories of mischief and everything. Yeah. And I was like, oh. And again, I remember vividly being about, I was about 12 or 13, being like, oh, I see, we were just one little bit of this, and we weren't even that big, we weren't even that I thought we were very interesting, but actually there's this life. And I think that's, and you know, that's sort of what people talk about when someone does live to a long age, there is all this life, there's so much that you can talk about and celebrate and remember, and that's like, that's wonderful. And that's a really joyous thing that you can have at a funeral. But yeah, I think that's important for kids to see that as well. Of like, because I think when you're a grandkid, you do get a bit, this isn't the right word, but not big headed, but like you sort of think you're very important, don't you? Because I'm the grandchild. Yeah. I'm very important.
Yeah.
I'm her grandchild.
Totally. yeah.
Like, I'm pretty much number one. And then you're like, because you really are. You hold a very special place, obviously. But then, to see that actually, there's a lot of people who are number one actually to this person, or who were number one and they've changed. And I think that's, sort of, not that you need to like be, you know, you don't need to be taken off a pedestal. I don't mean it like that. I just mean it like to see that someone is what a whole person looks like, I guess.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. Totally. I even thought that about, I guess my gran and I was, 37 or something. And it's like, I know you've got so many friends. I know you've got other life, but it's still good to see.
Yeah.
Still good to hear about. Yeah, it's good. It's such a thing as a grandkid. Maybe because you are normally a kid when you're, you know, there's not that many much older adult grandkids once you sort of realise that stuff.
Yeah, and and obviously they're overjoyed by you, and they don't have to like do the annoying stuff. So like they're just like,
honestly, great. It must be so good. Yeah. My mum's always saying it's like much better to be a grandma than a mum.
Yeah.
Like not in a, you know, loving less way, but she's just like, it's amazing. They like you better than your kids do.
Yeah.
And you do less than you had to do, and you only do the good stuff. So like, it is the best.
Sounds really good.
Best role.
They like you more, and you do less. That is if that's not an advertisement for being a grandparent, I don't know what it's like.
No, right?
It's amazing. yes, please.
Or auntie. I've just become an auntie, and I'm feeling that already. It's like, this is great.
Yeah. brilliant. Holly, I know you had written some poems about her. Do you want to read one?
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm trying to think which one to. They're quite soppy. That's not nice.
We'll finish on a nice soppy poem about your gaga. I think that's perfect.
Okay, cool. I'll do this one. It's called Cullicino, which I'm quite obsessed with words that only exist in like one language that we don't have other words for. So it's an Italian word, and it just means like the. When you put like a really cold glass on a table, it leaves that like watermark.
Yeah.
But they've got a specific word for like the mark left by like a cooling glass.
Oh my God.
Basically, which I thought was cool. And I was like, oh yeah, that's like the mark that my gran left on me. It doesn't seem so deep now as it did at the time. But I wrote this like in that few hours, like after watching the Zoom funeral and not knowing what to do. And I was just thinking of all the things that she wanted to do. Like I was saying, like she still wanted to do loads and wanted to learn more. And she really wanted to go to Italy. So, and I think she really wanted to dance with a few more like sailors and stuff. Like we talked about sex an awful lot. And we talked about orgasms a lot, because she was saying so many women her age didn't have one.
Wow.
That's one of the biggest regrets. Weirdly, that sort of stuff in life at her age. It's like you lived till you were, you know, really good age and you had a beautiful life. But there were certain things, especially to do with like female pleasure, that were not talked about, which I have the opportunity to now. Not that I'm, you know, just having orgasms because my gran had less, but I picked out all the stuff. I picked out all the stuff that I want to do, and now I'm just using my gran as an excuse to do it. We do it all the time with food. Let's have this chocolate cake. My auntie would have wanted me to have this. She liked cake. Cullicino. The scent of a story still clings to your chair. Unaware, the narrator is gone. Your nightgowns are folded and boxed for collection. Your pots of fake flowers act like nothing is wrong. On my knees, on the rug, still glittered with skin, I pocket the daydreams you dropped. Your longings, so locked in by duty and place, let me flick past the page where you stopped. Ink those stockings again up the backs of my legs. Let me stride through the almost that tittered your lips. Shame has lessened its cuffs now, your ladylike scars mere marks on my wrists. One last clink to you, Gran. Italy calls. They say the poems are gorgeous this time of year. Yes, I promise to press at least one red poppy. Yes, I promise to dip all my toes in the shore. Then I'll sip on espresso, scoff all the ricotta, melt mozzarella, lap up the days from the plate, lick gelato, sip on prosecco, let glitterball moons keep the night times awake. So come away with me, Gran. Let us dance in the dusk. Those Jezebel jokes were too good to waste. Let's take up the hems you politely declined, spin top the stars till our ankle bones break. Let me scream all the screams your times turned to sin, waltz all the waltzes your fingers forbade. Let us hang out our hearts in this hot lashing rain till we are both of us drenched, our bodies opaque. And yes, I am picking my favourite laments from your never dids, never will, too little, too late. But figs ripen too fast for the Sunday Times crossword, and I'm not bothered to learn how to bake. So vieni con me a Italia, Gran. Feel the healing of heat on uncensored souls. Let's laugh in piazzas, sleep face down in pizza. I miss you. Amore mio.
Oh, Ollie, that's so... Oh, I was going to say nice, that's not the right word.
Oh, no, I love the word nice.
That's so nice. Go with it. I like it. Nice. That's such a nice... Oh. What a lovely, lovely poem.
Oh, thanks. I'm just using an excuse to go to Italy, really. My daughter's still like, Mom, we've got to go to Italy. I was like, but I'll take you when you're a bit older. She's like, why? And I was like, because it's quite a privilege to go to Italy. I was like, I feel like it's like Italy in my head was where like the really upmarket or whatever people went that I knew.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh no, you can't go to Italy yet. Then you'll be like, it's... properly spoiled. She's like, it's just next to Spain and we've been to Spain. I'm like, I don't know why, but it's just different. Like, my gran never got there.
Yeah.
My auntie never got to Italy. They were both obsessed with Italy. It's like something about it, but I'll decide when.
You should go. Fuck it. Just go. I think go.
I know, I will. I will, I will. I'm only kidding.
Or take her when she can drink wine. That's the only other thing I'd say.
Well, I said coffee. She's always asking for coffee. I was like, you're not drinking coffee. Like, you don't need to start drinking coffee. And I was like, I'll buy you a coffee.
In Italy.
If we go to Italy. And I was like, wow, that is classy.
Oh, Holly, thank you so much. And thank you for remembering Isabel Gaga. It was, and your other gran as well, and your friend. It was really, really lovely.
Oh, well, thanks for letting me. It was lovely to talk about them.
If you want any news about where Holly is gigging or her books that you can buy, head to hollypoetry.com. Holly is H-O-L-L-I-E, poetry, P-O-E-T-R-Y.com. You can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at hollypoetry, same spelling. And her new book, Slug, is available to buy now, as well as all her other books, which are absolutely brilliant. Say, if you know anybody's just have a kid, the parenting one, Nobody Told Me, is particularly brilliant. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Griefcast. The show was recorded remotely. It was edited by the amazing Kate Holland. Thank you, Kate, for editing along the way. We'll be back maybe soon. I'm not sure. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everything. Thank you for buying the book. You don't have to stop buying the book just because the podcast is on a break. Let's just make that clear. Thank you, guys. And remember... even though I might not be here next week, or I'm not sure when this show, if it will come back, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change that you are not alone, and that this club that we're all in is absolutely rammed with people who feel the same way that you do, have been through similar things, and even though your grief is unique, there are people out there who get it and understand.
So that is the thing to always remember. You are not alone. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.